Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage everyone to go on the Devil Radio website and download our app, or go to the Apple Google Store and download our app, or even easier, sit in a chair and go, Alexa, enable Devil Radio. Then you go, Alexa, play Devil Radio. You can take your favorite shows with you wherever you go. While you're at it, click on the link that says Support Devil Radio, which we put on because many of our listeners asked for it. You know that there are more than 80 right-wing broadcasts going out every day in this state, poisoning the state, questioning our election, falsely saying there's something wrong with the election, subverting our democracy, and Devil Radio is the one station that's the strongest, clearest voice standing up for our democracy. Well, on the federal level, a bit of a setback in the Build Back Better bill, the so-called soft infrastructure bill, the $1.75 trillion bill. The Senate parliamentarian is a woman named Elizabeth McDonough. Elizabeth McDonough. And she gets to rule on matters of Senate procedure. Senate procedure. And as you know, the Build Back Better bill is being put in under budget reconciliation. What does that mean? Budget reconciliation? There's a filibuster requirement in the Senate right now, which should be eliminated, but it would require 10 Republican votes and 50 Democratic votes, and not a single Republican is going to vote for the Build Back Better bill. So Schumer very wisely on the Build Back Better bill, did under budget reconciliation, which is a reform put in by Senator Byrd of West Virginia back in the 70s, which is on some financial stuff, they can't filibuster it. It's just majority. But it has to be financial stuff. And the Republicans asked the parliamentarian for a ruling on whether the immigration provision of the bill is financially impactful. There's a provision in the Build Back Better bill that would give work permits to 6.5 million people. They call them unauthorized immigrants, illegal immigrants, people who have come here. They don't have green cards. They just flat out came here. The parliamentarian just ruled yesterday that provision is not sufficiently financially impactful to be in a budget reconciliation bill. It should be subject to the filibuster. So it's out. Now, here's the deal. Come on. Here's the deal. The majority, which is the 50 Democrats plus Elizabeth Harris, plus Kamala Harris, by simple majority can get rid of the filibuster. They can overrule the parliamentarian. If we had disciplined 50 people, we could put in voting rights. The heck with what the Republicans say. And yet, Manchin and Sinema won't go along. So now that's stripped out. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Biden has now conceded that that bill is not going to be passed at all this year. He wanted it by Christmas because Manchin won't vote for it. And then the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is running ads thanking Manchin for sinking the bill. Do they know something we don't know? I think so. I think I know. I don't think Manchin's ever going to vote for this bill. I think it's an elaborate strip tease. That's what he's doing, chipping away. What he does goes to Biden, well, I don't want child tax credit. Child tax credit pays for food, rent, diapers, clothes for these kids, more than 30 million families just got their last check. And in the COVID, yeah, there are a lot of jobs, but there are a lot of single moms with two or three kids, and they have no child care, so how can they work? Manchin doesn't care. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce really doesn't care. That's the present status. We're going to the lines. Cassandra of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cassandra. What's on your mind?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I've just been listening to you for the last hour, and also some of your callers who have really urged the Democratic Party to put in a greater effort for voters up north. And I have to say that I think the party they should play in all areas. They should not dismiss certain regions of the state because it's considered a red county. But my question is this. Russ Feingold, in his Senate campaign, he spent a lot of time in the red counties, and it just did not do him any good. And I would like to see those voters, but what about all of the time being invested? Should time just be spent getting our voters out? You know, in Madison and Milwaukee, that's what I'm questioning. I'm not saying not to go for the voters, but Russ Feingold tried and he failed. And Tammy Baldwin, she's been successful, and one of the reasons why is because she's had very weak Republican challengers. If there's ever a strong Republican challenger, I do believe Tammy Baldwin could go down. I'll listen off the air, and great show as always.
Yeah, thank you, Cassandra. That's very insightful. And let me parse that, because that's a very important point, and clarify what it is we're talking about. First of all, Russ Feingold won three terms. He won in 1992, he won in 1998, and he won in 2004. And he did that by going all over the state. So for three terms, it worked. Now, the fourth term, first of all, people get a little itchy. You know, a guy's been in, you know, for a fourth term. Secondly, he ran in 2010. Now, 2010 was what I call a tsunami year, a hurricane year for Republicans. The truth is that there have been hurricane tsunami years for each party. 1958, that was a tsunami year for Democrats. 1994 was a tsunami year for Republicans. 2010 was a tsunami year for Republicans. 2018, right after Trump's first two years, was a tsunami time for Democrats. So it goes back and forth. So he was swimming into a hurricane in 2010. In 2016, quite frankly, I know Russ is a friend of mine, but Russ didn't run a great campaign anywhere, even Milwaukee and Dane County. He stayed in California a lot. He taught at Stanford. He finally came back. And, you know, at the end, you know, he said something in a debate, "I respect my opponent." Well, I don't respect his opponent. I don't respect Ron Johnson. But he said that. Well, Ron Johnson is accusing him of bad things, and Ron Johnson was the guy committing the bad thing. It was a campaign that didn't show a lot of enthusiasm. And as a result, he lost by more than 100,000 votes, and Hillary Clinton only lost by 27,000 votes. So there's a lot of dynamics going on. So let's parse out, you know, what you're saying. Yes, we have to have GOTV. GOTV, in the last couple of weeks of the election, and especially the last 10 days, is essential. And that concentrates on Democrats. What I'm talking about is, and people may not realize this to the full extent, we have strong Democratic units in every county in the state, every county in the state. And these are the people who came to the party back in 2020 in the spring and said, we got to have Biden signage up here. This was right after Super Tuesday, right after Clyburn, and everybody was endorsing Biden, and it was clear he was going to be the nominee. Remember, all the other candidates did. Elizabeth Warren did. Amy Klobuchar did. They all did. They said, we want permission to put up signs. And they said, and the state party said no. Then they said, well, we'll pay for the signs. And then the state party, you know, we want them up by Memorial Day because there's nothing but Trump signs. And it's not all Trump supporters initially. What happens is they'll go to a farmer and they'll go, I'll give you $200 a month for the rest of the campaign if you will let us put up a Trump sign. But everybody driving through and all the tourists go, oh, he's for Trump. There are Trump signs all over the North, starting in the spring, and no Biden signs. So then we wound up by Memorial Day. They say, well, hold off. Our sign printer in Pennsylvania is on strike. And what do you mean our sign printer? We have sign printers who are union in this state. I could get it done in 2 hours. But no. So there are no signs up. Then you come to 4th of July. We said, come on, for the love of Pete, let's have them up. We'll help pay for them. I'll help put money in. Nope. We can't do it by 4th of July because we want the VP name on there, and the VP hasn't been selected right yet. Come on, let's just get Biden up there. Who cares who the VP is? Let's get the name up against Trump. No. Okay, how about September? Labor Day. We got the VP now. We'll put up, you know, Biden Harris. And well, we're working on it. We're working on it. Let us take care of it. And they went up in October, 4 weeks out. That's the playbook of the Democratic Party now. It's top down. There is absolutely no consideration for local control of elections around the state. And that's a big mistake. You cannot be authoritarian like that in a party. Basically, what they do is they have a game plan, largely social media. It is boots on the ground, and it is a direct contact, but it's very targeted, very, very targeted. And a lot of older folks, I know my own parents, you know, they never had a computer, never on social media. And you're missing a lot of folks. So finally, all of the people that go up north from Milwaukee are coming back going, hey, there's nothing but Trump signs up there. And the people up there get, they see it. And what they end up doing is they end up going, well, all I see is Trump. He must be a good guy. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. I couldn't agree with you more. The Democrats are really dropping the ball. And if it wasn't for Liz Cheney, we would have nothing. But thanks to Liz Cheney, she's doing a wonderful job, and it's gaining momentum. It's actually, they named Jim Jordan yesterday. They're naming people. They're talking about Trump's direct problems with that. So I have a little thing that I put out on blogs and everything, especially I'll go on Fox News, YouTube, and I'll type in, let's go January 6th commission. Kind of a takeoff of let's go Brandon, but it's let's go January 6th commission. Am I over optimistic, or is this going to be the downfall of the Republicans? And Matt, I refer back to you. Thank you.
You know, I think Liz Cheney is marvelous. She's terrific. So is Adam Kinzinger and a couple of the rest. But the fact of the matter is that it should be, because I think, Bill, that commission is going to refer Donald Trump for criminal charges to Merrick Garland, Department of Justice. And why do I say that? Because she quoted from a statute that's right on point that says if anybody through inaction or inaction, the direct quote, interferes with the functions of the Congress, it commits a felony. And the Republicans argue, well, Trump's thing was Pence's counting was just ceremonial. It's not a function of the Congress. They didn't think it was ceremonial. They put up a gallows and said, hang Mike Pence. Trump said he could do it. He clearly violated that statute. It's a felony. He's going to get reported for criminal prosecution. Do I think that Merrick Garland will do it? I think Merrick Garland has been unduly cautious. I think he has been unduly cautious, and he may not. I'm hoping, though, that the simple referral will convince some people, moderate Republicans and independents, that there's something rotten in the state of Denmark here. Okay, that's from Shakespeare, something rotten in the state of Denmark, and we got to get something different. So I hope it's the downfall of what I would call the authoritarian Republican Party, and a new Republican Party rises out of the ashes led by Liz Cheney. Thanks a lot for calling. We're going to a break. Lines still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.